This is episode 30, recorded on November 11th, 2011, Veterans Day. Packard pokes at Holy Porno, Bat Pope. Enjoy.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. On my far right, well, not the far right, because he's just covering over for the person who's usually on the far right, would be Eric. But he is gone tonight. So, in covering for the far right, we'll have Zach.
Praise Bob and let there be slack.
And on my far left would be Dan.
Hello, got more coffee.
Yeah, you talked way too fast last time. that was from last week. You had all that extra coffee. And rejoining us from her sabbatical is Vani.
What up, homies?
We're going to have to come up with a new opening for you there, Vani. You've used that so many times.
I don't know what else to say.
Well, we'll figure something out.
Okay. What be up, yo homies?
There you go. Something. Well, something. But we've had an interesting week, but we have a few corrections that need to be taken care of, and we'll get to those right now.
Uh-oh.
We goofed.
I made a little mistake last week. We said I thought the E pluris unum, I thought it was Latin for the same thing in God we trust, but I was wrong. It was actually, it's a Latin motto. I was right about the fact that it's in Latin, but it says, in the face of the great seal of the United States, it's actually meaning out of many, one. So, and there'll be a link at packardpokes@wordpress.com. And Num Divide let us know that you have to physically load a 9mm into the chamber, and it won't do it automatically. So we were worried about the gun issue thing there. And it's too bad Eric isn't here, because he was actually going to be vindicated on this episode, because we talked about the pins and needles being actually in candy. And there had been instances where there have been those, that it was actually true. However, there were some caveats that no children were actually harmed in the commission of the, it was a prank, apparently. And a number of the pranks looked like child with apples were sourced with the blade also, so the kid actually done it. And one person was criminally charged with putting pins in a candy bar. So, and those will all be, and that, I got that from Snopes.com. So,
really?
Yeah. So, but
can you put that link at the website too?
Yes, that link will also be at the website. Also,
that would be fascinating.
Yes, it's a good article, and it goes into more detail on that. So we got that taken care of.
Before we leave that, the E pluribus unum. Now the thing of it is, if you take that Latin phrase and you switch it around to say E unum pluribus, you know what you get?
What?
The Duggars.
The Duggars.
Yeah.
You'll have to explain that one to me later.
Went over my head.
Mine over mine, too. I'm feeling the razor burn at the top there, Dan.
No, instead of from many, one, from one, many.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Dan. That one just...
You have no idea who the Duggars are?
No.
The woman who is pregnant again with her, 19th kid.
No.
Yeah.
Who's this?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Well, yeah, the Duggars is like a last name. Sound like a sports team.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Basically, it is. I think they could have two baseball teams with the kids they have.
Are you talking about Octomom?
No. Different woman. Oh. This is one of the...
The TV show is called 17 and Counting, but they're on their 20th kid.
Yeah. I've never even heard of that TV show. But anyway, let's...
And a related note to that real quick, we have just hit 7 billion.
We did?
This last week, we have over 7 billion people on this planet.
Oh, I was going to say 7 billion people are listening to this show? Wow, I need better ad revenue.
Not yet. We're working on that.
And it's really scary to think that the year I was born, there were half that many people on this planet.
I'm not even sure what it was. My daughters and I were going through when they were born, and we found out what Star Trek Deep Space Nine episode they were born.
I should do that.
Yeah, well, we did that. No, yeah,
Born around that time, so I could probably find which episode was airing when I was
You'd be referring Star Trek, the original. This is the Deep Space Nine.
I'm talking the original series. Tomorrow Never Knows or something like that is my episode, or Archon of whatever, you know, Game Series of Triskelion.
My oldest one was Profit and Loss, I believe. I could be wrong.
Profit and Loss.
Profit and Loss. Yeah.
Okay, I'll shut up. Let's move on.
All right, let's get going. Our first tech story for the night. Researchers attempt to turn 6.4 trillion liters of urine into a viable biofuel. And now, we talked about this, something like this last week. Or not last week, a few podcasts ago. One of Vonnie's here, it always feels like it's last week. No. No, this is the last time that you were on. We were talking about using taking wood pulp and turning that into a biofuel. Now, this, in this instance, it's turning urine into biofuel. Now, you can't just go and, you know, pee into your gas tank and turn it into there. It's actually a little bit more complicated than that. You have to turn a bunch of – it takes the sugars and the other things that are in urine from body stuff here, and it takes it out, and then it could also be recycled, so the water gets taken out as well. So in the future, we could be seeing something like, you know, Back to the Future type thing, where they, you know, Mr. Fusion type thing. Instead of putting trash in there, you'd be putting urine in there. Your thoughts on this, Dan?
Yeah, it'd be great. You know, if it accomplishes a couple things at once, because in addition to providing a fuel source, it also filters the water, cleans the water, so it's purified water coming out of the other end of this as well.
Yes.
And water is becoming a scarce commodity in many areas, mm-hmm. and this is just, you know, two thumbs up.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Vonnie, your thoughts?
Neat. Ew, but neat.
You know, the thing is about urine, it's sterile. It's not like, you know, you can't catch anything from it. People actually, I as gross as it's going to sound, people actually drink this. It is perfectly safe. But I think I'd rather put it in a car, you know, this way. That does remind me of the movie A Red Dawn, where they were being chased out of town, and the radiator got hit, and they had to refill it, you know. They had most of the guys there, and they had like one girl, but they had to refill the radiator. So,
yeah.
Zach, your thoughts?
The movie it reminds me of is Waterworld.
Well, I've actually never actually seen that movie.
The very beginning of the movie, you are given a reason to not watch the rest of it, because Kevin Costner is stuck on a boat and he is surrounded by water, mm-hmm. and it's not even a boat, it's like a raft. It's like a piece of driftwood that he's converted into a boat. Mm-hmm. And he has a device on what we'll call a boat. The device allows him to urinate into it, and then it purifies it, and so he can drink his own water, because he's surrounded by seawater. He can't drink.
Oh, yeah, you can't drink seawater.
So in the very beginning of the film, you witness Kevin Costner essentially urinate and then drink his own urine.
Yeah, I've heard that. There was a comedian who was talking about, you don't go pee into a cup, you get taste of choice, or something like that.
But looking at this article, it reminds it looks like one of those perpetual motion machines. I mean, it looks like it sounds like a good idea, but in practice, I'm not convinced.
Well, we have to see a working model yet, but I mean, it does
and
sound.
This is all theoretical, and all perpetual motion machines are theoretical. You can't actually make them work.
I'll
hold my judgment on this until we actually see an engine that you can pee into.
Yeah, well, this is actually. I remember reading in the article that you can't just go and do this yourself. You actually have to take like a lot of it from, like, say, a bar or a restaurant, something where there would be a lot of people that would be contributing or donating, I suppose, to this contribution of this.
So you would need several people to piss before one car can, like, go a mile.
Yeah, something like that. I don't have the exact number in front of me, unfortunately.
And I have no idea. I've thought about measuring it before, but I've never really gotten around to figuring out just how much I pee it in one sitting.
Well, it's on average. I think it's about 8 to 10 ounces on average.
How would they know? So someone's actually measured this?
Yes. That's called biology, my friend.
After spending 3 weeks in the hospital, you don't want to have them measure it. It gets annoying as hell.
But do you know, really, Dan? Do you know how much you're on the average? Did they tell you? Because when I was in the hospital a couple years ago, they didn't tell me. But at the time, I was on a lot of Vicodin after I got out of the operation. So I don't know.
They told me,
I don't remember it.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that.
I was busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't mention it to me, but, you know, I just had to keep track of input and output. You know.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just... But anyway, it's quite interesting. I think that, you know, this is going to be a possibility for an alternate fuel source. I mean, this could change a lot of things. And especially this is going to go to power generator. This would be perfect for, like, an electric car or something. This being used a lot of places. I mean, it's something that comes from us, and it can reuse in a lot of different ways.
Will this happen before or after we get our flying cars?
I hope it's before, because I don't think you want to lose a tank at that altitude.
Sorry.
I'm wondering what the exhaust on my jetpack is going to smell like.
Our next story here, Steve Jobs is probably, if people who believe that kind of stuff, that, you know, he's in heaven or whatever, but if he was, if he'd be having the last laugh on Adobe's Flash, posthumously anyway, because what the Adobe just came out and said, yeah, we concede finally that Adobe is removing Flash from mobile devices, finally. And they're going to be going with HTML5, which is, HTML5 is compatible all the way around. The problem with Flash...
Lighter, better, faster, current.
Yes, exactly. Flash is inherently dangerous as a piece of software, because it has less security. You can embed things in Flash. It's a pig for CPU processors. It's a big problem. Steve, if you're out there somewhere, which we know you're not, but we know that you would be, we know you'd be dancing. I've been listening to the books about Steve Jobs. I've been listening to his the biography on him. Just from what I picked up on him, he would be. I think he'd be laughing his ass off right now over this. Really, I really think I do. But that's just my opinion, just based on what I've learned about him so far. And nothing against Steve, but for the first part of his life, he was a total a-hole. And there's some things about what he did I did not agree with. But that's a whole other story. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I'm overjoyed. I did cartwheels virtually when I read that article. I was so happy to hear that. I knew it would happen, because eventually, you know, Adobe was either going to have to go under or get with the times. Mm-hmm. And I commend Steve Jobs for not bending on that one, because why should he make his product crap just because they won't come up to the 2011 kind of standards? I commend him for not putting crap on his devices and not allowing people... not allowing the open forum stuff too to let people get in and infect his devices. I think it was fabulous what he did, and I think he pushed technology forward by taking a stand on that, because Adobe was losing money tenfold, and they had no choice. They have to either get with the times or pack it up.
Yeah, that was the thing about what I did get that part of the book where the audiobook that I was listening to, that. He tried to go to Adobe for something, and they said, no, we're not going to do this. He felt betrayed and screwed by them. So, I think this is his greatest revenge right there, is that he's been vindicated. Even after death, he's been vindicated.
Well, you know what, though? Not to interrupt you, but I really followed this closely when it first was happening, and it wasn't personal. Steve Jobs, from the very first thing he ever dreamed of, the whole driving force behind anything that Apple, anything that Steve Jobs has put out there, has been for the user.
Yeah.
Not to accommodate Adobe or even Apple, but to accommodate the user and the best experience possible that user could have. And he knew that Flash would make the phone crap.
Yeah, no, that is true.
That was what it was about.
Yeah, that's partially true. But I mean, I literally just heard this morning when I was coming back from work, that got to that part of the book where he was talking about it. He said that he felt really betrayed by Adobe because he said they screwed me. So it's in the book. If you get a chance to pick up the audiobook or download it. I have the book. You have the book.
I don't know, disputing that at all. I'm just saying that, like, that's a kind of a sweet victory for sure. But I'm not sure that he was seeking revenge as much as.
He was seeking revenge on Google for sure. But that's a whole other story.
Wow, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, because they copied the Android phone and everything. Well, he said that in the book that he was going to go. He wanted to go nuclear on them. So. But anyway, we're getting off the topic here. Of course, what red hole don't we down in this show. Zach, your thoughts?
I'll try to keep it quick because I don't have a phone. So my approach to Flash is kind of in the reverse. I used to hate it a couple computers ago because back then it was a memory hog. And I was annoyed that everybody was like, oh, this is the latest thing. You got to get Flash. And I tried to install it and it was a pain in the butt. And it's gotten better. Now it's gotten to where I use Flash on a lot of stuff. Websites use it all the time, and I have no problem with it. I haven't noticed problems. I like Flash. Now it's behind the times. Now it's yesterday's news, and we're looking at other stuff now. Figures. Just when I started liking it.
Yeah, you're kind of a late adopter in that instance, right?
Well, in most things. I'm a late adopter in a lot of stuff.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm kind of the middle of the road when it comes to this technology stuff. I'm not always the early adapter. I'm not always the latest adapter, in some cases, depending if it costs a lot of money. But I'm like in the middle there. I'll adopt it, after it's gone through first couple iterations this way.
After it's proven itself and become stable and it's actually useful, and that's just when people get bored with it and move on to something that's not stable and it's brand new and it's groundbreaking. And I'm like, but it's a piece of crap. This over here works. They hammered it all out. It works now. Yeah, but that's so 2 months ago. Let's do this.
Yeah, well, that's true. Technology pushes the industry. So, we're going to keep moving forward no matter what. I mean, we're never satisfied, and that's perfectly fine. I'd rather not be satisfied and get something better than be stuck in a cave somewhere.
I'd rather it work.
Dan, your thoughts?
I'd rather Flash worked most of the time.
Yeah.
Flash for Linux has been a sticking point for a lot of Linux users for years, and it's because Adobe really just doesn't care.
Yeah.
Their Flash plugin is free, downloadable, just like their PDF reader for any number of systems, but they don't care about the Linux platform because they don't make any money off of it because none of their products are available as, you can't buy Adobe software that runs on your Linux machine. You can buy it for Mac or Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't going to make any money off Linux users. They don't care.
Yeah.
HTML5 is all platform and system independent. The browsers
can't control that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's all outside of their control. So everybody that complained about Adobe Flash for years on Linux can now just say, okay, bye.
Yeah.
One other problem I had with Flash is the way it was used in a lot of cases. One in particular, a local upscale restaurant debuted their website. And I highlighted it in an article I wrote years ago when it was first put up about how not to create a website. because of the fact that in my mind, it was not a website. It was a Flash application that was placed on the web.
Yeah,
that was it. Everything was Flash. There was no text. If you were a handicapped user using a screen reader, you would get absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that
and
is
that's not. what the search engines picked up too. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Especially you nailed it right on there. That if you're a blind user and you go to a site that's got Flash on it, the screen reader can't read it at all. It's not
exactly
compatible. I don't know.
HTML5, on the other hand, provides for accessibility like that.
Oh, it does it. Okay, very good.
HTML always has.
Okay. I was not aware of that. It was my next question, actually. But I'm glad that was sorted out right there.
Politics! 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 Politics!
Democrats defeated a bill on Thursday that would have blocked federal environmental regulators from slashing power plant air pollution that blows downwind to other states and caused lung and heart problems. The Democrats were able to bypass this rule that, or they were able to access that would basically shut down the EPA and kept, you know, them from putting controls on these power plants and whatnot that are causing all this pollution. So I think it's about time the Democrats are finally stepping up and they're doing something that's actually been helpful to this point. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, in general, the Environmental Protection Agency is one of those agencies that needs a major overhaul, but not in the direction the conservatives want to go.
Right.
I thought it was amusing when Rick Perry couldn't remember.
Yeah.
The Ron Paul suggested you want to get rid of the EPA.
Yeah.
So Ron Paul took an opportunity to throw a hand grenade at Rick Perry.
Yeah, you're getting ahead of the story there. You're getting ahead of the.
I'm sorry. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, I mean, you brought up the EPA.
Yeah.
I think that many of these agencies do not need to be removed. They need to be fixed so that they can actually do their jobs. But the last thing that corporations want them to be able to do is their jobs. Mm-hmm. So we're at an impasse there. The Democrats are actually doing something for once with regards to EPA. They have assisted in this past several years. It's been bipartisan of neutralizing and essentially making impotent agencies like the EPA. So this is a small win, and it's not really it's worthless.
Yeah. Well, it's
too little, too late.
It's a small win. It's still a win, regardless. I mean, it's a little at a time, but it's going to make progress eventually. I mean,
you are more optimistic than I am.
Well, I'm an optimist. I'm an optimistic pessimist.
I'm a pessimistic pessimist.
That would make you an optimist. Just saying.
Dan, your thoughts.
I'm an apathetic realist.
There you go.
Well, you know, I'm glad they got rid of this. I mean, it's just painfully obvious that I'm not even going to say it's the Republicans. One Democrat, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, voted for it. Why? Because of the coal industry,
right?
You know, this isn't the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. This is the corporate party that is trying to dismantle the EPA.
Yeah. But they have most of the Republicans on their side, though.
Yeah. The majority of the Republicans are on the side of the corporate party.
Yeah.
And a lot of Democrats are in their pockets, too.
Yeah, a few here and there, too.
And it's pathetic.
It's an illusion that we have a two-party system is an illusion. It's a corporate oligarchy.
Yeah.
We're not living in a democratic republic.
It's pathetic. They don't care about people.
Yeah.
And that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah, unless it's their people.
Yeah, unless it's them and their rich white buddies.
Yeah, that's about it.
You know, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
It money.
Hey, that's what it always boils down to. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I don't really understand what the EPA is.
It's the Environmental Protection Agency. They kind of they make sure, you know, that the air is clean, the water is clean. So this way, when you go,
they're supposed to make sure that the air is clean and the water is clean.
Right,
whether or not they actually do, that's up for debate.
Right.
They're the environment police.
Okay, and they're not policing the way they should.
Well, it's been a lot of controversy in the House of Representatives, state or Senate or whatever. That they're trying to, the Republicans mostly, are trying to keep out these rules to make the air cleaner. The companies are supposed to only put out so much pollution, so they don't want to, you know, pollute the rivers and the streams or whatever. But the corporations want to be able to do this so they can get rid of their waste, or they can burn more coal, so they can make more money. Make more money, right? Exactly. So.
Right. The conservatives argue that, that these sort of rules are limitations; they're restrictions on corporates, corporations, and it keeps corporations from being able to make a profit, being able to make more jobs, being able to do what they need to do in order to make services and goods for the American people.
Right.
Yeah. To which I respond: right. So
to hell with our next generation. Let's make money today.
Precisely. Precisely. That's the conservative mentality.
Yeah, that's exactly it too. So did you have any thoughts on that, Vani, or
that no, just the questions you answered. I guess I wouldn't have much more to add other than it's just more of the same, really.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Texas Governor Rick Perry stumbles badly in the in the Republican debate. Apparently, while he was doing his this is what Zach was starting to get onto, and I was I was trying to cut him off because I don't want him like you're telling the whole story before we get there.
Yeah, that I didn't mean to jump the gun there.
That's all right. But
I stepped in it.
Yeah, he did. But
good thing I'm wearing my boots.
He said he wanted to get rid of the Environmental Protection Agency as an option. He said first the commerce, education, and he goes, what's the third one there? Let's see. He couldn't remember. And it's like
then Ron Paul suggested the Environmental Protection Agency, which was incorrect.
Yeah.
What he had said before that was energy. He wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy.
Right, exactly. He said he wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy. And I was listening to some of this. I mean, they handle a lot of this, the nuclear materials, and that around the country, you know, we have to deal with this stuff. You know, like the power plants that run on nuclear fuels, they have to deal with this kind of stuff. And nuclear medicines. So, I mean, you don't want this in the hands of people who don't know what they're doing. And it just costs prohibitive for your local city just to handle all this stuff because nuclear materials are dangerous, especially if they're in the wrong hands. Zach, your thoughts?
Where to begin? I'm not a fan of Rick Perry, and this is an example of why, but it's not because he stumbled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with a politician who stumbles and is human. Reagan made his share of guffaws, and so did Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have sex with that woman. we begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Every great president has made their share of mistakes. Even Obama he said 57 states when he meant 50. He was probably including Guam and Puerto Rico and all the commonwealths or whatever we call them, protectorates. I don't know. Anyway, but he was wrong, and when he was right, but he was wrong. Whatever.
Yeah.
The problem I have with Perry is the problem that no one else is having. Everybody's like, oh, he doesn't look presidential. He made a goof and he didn't cover himself. What I have or what I take umbrage at is what he said, and this is part of his policy that he wants to abolish these three agencies: commerce, energy. And now I'm doing – I can't remember what was the third one.
Education.
Education, he's not a smart person himself, and Texas is he has gutted the education budget here in Texas, and that's exactly what he wants to do with America. He is not for an agency that regulates commerce because he is for big business. He is not for energy controlling the nuclear stockpile, doing things, you know, telling corporations how to deal with their waste, because he is not for the American people. He's for big business.
Mm-hmm.
He's for corporations. People are upset with him because he made a mistake, but the mistake that he is making is that he wants to abolish these agencies, and people are not questioning. They're questioning how he is saying his message. They're not questioning his message. They're not challenging his message. What would you replace it with? Nothing. Yeah. You would expect the private sector to police itself. And we have seen that that doesn't work. That's the reason why these agencies exist.
Right.
Because they do not police themselves. They need outside regulation.
When he says he wanted to get rid of the Department of Education, I mean, that's any indication that if he wants to get, we turn the country into people, a bunch of Rick Perry's, and get rid of education.
A bunch of stupid people.
Yeah,
he wants to make us dumber. He wants us to make us more like him.
Yeah.
We're talking about a man who literally believes God told him to run for president. Why didn't his God tell him the answer to the question?
That's a good question. Why doesn't anybody ask him that, I suppose?
Exactly.
Dan, your thoughts?
You know, I don't even think it was that he stumbled, because I really don't think he did. If it was,
You think he planned that?
Well, no. I don't think he planned it. What I think is that he really doesn't have any policy plans.
Really?
This is just sound bites in his head. which I don't think there's room for much more.
Bites,
but
yeah.
It's he really doesn't have any policy decisions in mind for what he would do if he were president.
Hmm.
Because if he really did, he wouldn't have forgotten that, you know, for one, he wouldn't have called them agencies because they aren't agencies. These are cabinet-level departments that oversee many agencies.
Yeah.
And to forget, you know, what would be a major part of your policy, I don't think could really happen if it were a major part of an actual policy. I really don't think he understands. I think he is that stupid. I really do.
Yeah, there was a tweet out there something about the structure of the brain, and they were talking about him, and I was like, they found a brain that he... Did they find the brain?
Actually is, they just assume.
They assume he has a brain?
I want proof.
I want to see. I got to see the x-ray that is, see he actually has a brain.
He went in for an intelligence test, and the results came back negative.
And he thinks that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I personally think most... I would, you know, if this had just been his only gaffe, this has not been the only gaffe that he's had. I mean, he was out in Massachusetts recently, and he's like... If you've ever seen the video, he's like all super energy. Like, it's like someone put uppers in his drink, and he'd been like been all kinds of crazy on that. This was a couple months ago, and I think Rick Perry. I think this is the final straw for Rick Perry. I think with this gaffe, I don't think he. I'm pretty certain he's not going to get the nomination, and I think he's pretty much at this point he's out of the race. I mean, that's just my opinion, of course. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I think that. What's scary is that he is so used to, he's very much, I think, a reflection of where he governs.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't realize that the rest of the world is looking at him like he is. I mean, when the other Republicans are shaking their head,
mm-hmm.
you know that he must be like stupid to a whole nother level, right?
Especially when Michelle Bachmann's doing it. Yeah, yeah. Especially.
Well, what are you implying there, Missy? I'm texting bone and bread. You implying that he's stupid?
No, just him.
There are exceptions. But what I mean is how he has control over Texas, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so he's used to people not questioning him. It's like, it's a whole different world. And the rest of the world is looking at him like, are you for real?
He was a big fish in a small pond, and now he's exactly. trying to be a big fish in a much, much bigger pond.
And yes. his flippers are broken, right?
He's getting eaten. Mm-hmm. He's
yeah,
getting it.
Definitely getting eaten.
Yeah, I think he should bow out before, I don't know. I can't believe that he's even allowed to run. Like, he's that stupid. I just can't even believe he's allowed.
If there were two people, I'm going to pull this for everybody. If there was two people in the race that should bow out of this race, of the people who are running, I mean, there's Romney, what's his name?
Newt.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Newt, I was thinking of the white hair. Newt.
Bachmann.
And...
Kane,
and there was one other one. I'm trying to remember. Mitt
Ron
Romney.
Paul.
Ron Paul and Mitt Romney. Of those six, because the other ones, they got such low scores, they're not even really count. But of those six, which two do you think should just at this point, should just say, I gave it a shot. I'm not going to, there's no way I'm going to finish this. So I'm going to step out now. Dan, which of the two do you think should step out right now?
I think the two should be Michelle Bachmann mm-hmm. and, gosh, I can't think of the second one.
Oops.
No, Bachmann and Newt Gingrich, neither one have a snowball's chance in hell.
Yeah, I don't think
getting it. It's pathetic.
Yeah, I don't think Newt's really even running. I think he's just doing this as a money-making scam. So that's a good choice. Vonnie, who do you think should drop out? The two.
Well,
that you should drop
I'm
out?
Torn because I think that it probably a better chance of the Democrats winning if those guys stay in, right?
This is true.
So the ones I would like to stay would be Perry and Michelle because for sure they're not going to win.
Hmm.
So okay. That would be better for the Democrats.
They're better entertainment value anyway.
But who should maybe, you know, watch a tape of themselves and just see how stupid they are, maybe should be the ones you – well, I don't know. I can't pick.
I think
they're all pretty much idiots. I don't know.
Yeah, earlier this month, Rick Perry came out, and I think – I'm pretty sure it was either Perry or Kane that said, yeah, I'm not going to do so many of these debates because, you know, I just don't want to make any more mistakes. And so –
I want to run for president.
Yeah. Zach, who do you think, if you were to pick two people that should say, you know, hey, it's time for you to go? Which?
Well, this whole thing has been a joke from the beginning. It's mm-hmm. just a dog and pony show.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney has had the nomination by default. Mm-hmm. There are forces in the conservative end of the Republican Party that have been trying to find a replacement because they know they will not get a Mormon in the White House because of the Southern vote. There is no way anyone in Texas is going to vote for Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Well, okay, there will be a small percentage of people that are going to do it despite. But the electoral the votes for the Electoral College in Texas have gone to a Republican every presidential election since Carter.
Mm-hmm.
But we went for Carter because he was a good Southern boy.
Right.
And he was a God-fearing Southern boy.
Yeah.
So it's Mitt Romney is the by default the only in the one that has two brain cells to rub together. None of these other people can possibly run. But I personally want Mitt Romney and Herman Cain to like get for some reason disappear and not be in the running because those two are the ones that of this list of insane people have the best possible chance of going up against Obama. And if Herman Cain can ride over the recent sexual scandals he's dealing with right now, if somehow he can come out of this looking like a rose, a Mitt Romney Herman Cain ticket might get them over the edge, but not by winning the South over.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay,
but I want those two to go away. Those are the two I want to go away because I don't want the Republicans to win.
Well, I don't want to win either. I wish we had another party that we could, you know, vote on.
Yeah, but even so, if that's the best they got, Herman Cain and Mitt Romney.
Yeah, I don't think
you don't have too much to worry about.
Well, the way the Republicans are redistricting stuff so they get more votes. It's, you know, it's kind of screwing things around.
Give me the news.
Bug spray bandit robs the bank. He basically, this guy dressed as a bug sprayer, goes into the bank, and then he robs it. This story reminds me of either a year ago or so. This guy had put an adding for Craigslist. Say, hey, everybody dress up like there's going to be a movie and we need extras. So you got to show up over here and you got to dress up in, with a hard hat, certain glasses, a construction slow thing you have to wear. So, you know, people, a vest. So people would know that, you know, you're working. And he crowdsourced a whole lot of people, like 20, 30 people. Then he robbed the bank and he got away because they're like, they give the description, and there's 30 people outside the bank, and they all look like this. So, and the only thing that they were showed up for is because it said it was on Craigslist. So it's kind of interesting. But what this guy did was he did this out in California. He robbed it with a pesticide gun. I mean, I know bullets are not really expensive, but. is pesticide, is he going to be, you know, is he going to get, if you get in your eyes, yeah, I suppose you can get hurt that way. But, you know, but if it gets on your skin, you just go, wash it off. Okay. Dan, your thoughts.
Actually, he did show what the teller said was a handgun. But they aren't real sure about it. It could have been a BB gun. Who knows?
Yeah.
People will try anything, but the first thing I thought of when I saw this was the old commercials for Raid. You know,
yeah, it's a Raid.
It's just half of the problem for bank robberies is getting in and looking unobtrusive, like you belong there. And if you look like you're spraying for bugs, people think you belong there.
Yeah.
And then the second part is getting out again, which is kind of tough. If you are you know, dressed in orange with a face mask on, carrying a big thing of insecticides.
Who's going to question that, you know?
He had it half right, you know?
Yeah.
But they are still looking for him, so.
Yeah, that they are. Random Access in the chat room told us that the bank robber I just mentioned, that hired the decoys, it was 3 years ago, not last year. So my mistake there, but I'm glad we got it covered out right off the bat. So thank you, Random Access. But it just reminded me so much of that story there. But they did catch that guy that did the crowdsourcing, that sent out all the decoys. They did catch him, but it caught him like a year or two later. So that was kind of interesting. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I guess I'm trying to put myself in their position. You know, what did he do? Like point his spray gun? Like why didn't someone just like? I would have laughed my head off. Like, are you for real? Come back with a real gun. Like,
yeah.
What?
Well, it said that Dan was right, is that they would appear to be an automatic handgun, so a semi-automatic handgun, yeah, in demand of cash.
Then,
so.
Then
yeah,
here
That also reminded me of a story. Somebody robbed a gas station with a diaper, and they said it was loaded with AIDS, so. You give me the money or I'm going to spread all this AIDS-infected poop all over you.
Imagine just like laying awake at night thinking, like, God, I need some money. I could get a second job or, I know, I could dress up as a pesticide person and rob a bank. I just don't know how these thoughts can come to a person's head.
I wonder, I've never robbed a bank. I remember reading that some guy wrote a story that he went through the motions. He didn't actually do it. He just wrote a story how he was, if he was going to, and he got arrested for just writing the story about it, because he would like plan it. So, but he wasn't actually going to do it, but they arrested him anyway. But it makes me wonder what goes through the person's mind. Do they just go to throw it on it one day and go, yeah, I'm just going to throw this on. I'm just going to go rob the bank today. Or do they actually plan these things,
Yeah. And how do they ever drive at the conclusion that that's a fabulous idea?
Yeah.
Like, really?
At least they didn't walk in there dressed like Gumby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Zach, your thoughts?
Well, if they're still looking for the guy, he's obviously done something right. If you dress up in a cockamamie outfit like this and then ditch the outfit immediately and get rid of it and never, and make sure that your fingerprints and stuff aren't on it, and then walk away wearing something completely different, then that's a sure, well, it's not the perfect crime, but it's definitely a step in the right direction if you're going to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You want to look memorable in a way that you're not going to be 5 minutes from now.
Right.
But what I would like to know, I'm not seeing this anywhere in the article, what were the security guys doing in the bank? When this guy walked in with his mouth covered, with his face covered, they should have immediately started asking questions, maybe go to the manager of the bank, ask him, are we fumigating today? Or be on the ball and no, we're not fumigating today. Let's go talk to this guy. The security guy should have confronted him when he walked into the bank before he got to the teller. And it's like, would you please remove your face mask, please, sir?
Yeah.
We're not fumigating in here. There's no reason for you to have that on. If you insist on having that on, then we would ask you to step outside or perhaps we can talk to the manager. But you're not going to get anywhere near the teller without me.
Totally.
Yeah,
the security guy wasn't doing his job, essentially.
Yeah. Well, the thing is about that, Zach, is a lot of banks don't necessarily always have a security guard in the bank. I mean, at least not here in Wisconsin. I've been to a lot of banks here in Wisconsin, even in the big city of Madison. There's not a security guard just standing there inside there. It's pretty casual. You walk in, you take care of what you got to do, and you walk back out.
They don't even have a plainclothesman. They don't have somebody.
Usually,
the manager of the bank, someone.
No.
When a man walks into a bank with his face covered, I don't care if it's a woman with a burqa.
Yeah.
That is not acceptable. If you're walking into not where my money is being kept. Well, I don't keep my money.
Well, this last summer I was down to the Wisconsin Dells, and they have a bank uptown. And they have a sign right on the side. It says, we know you're having a good time, but before you enter this bank, you have to remove all hats and all face masks or anything else.
Anything that might disturb facial recognition software needs to be removed before they actually approach the teller.
Right.
And if there isn't someone there, that's a bad sign. The bank needs to reconsider their security protocols.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, this is. But like I said, that's it's written on a sign outside. So if someone walks in there without it, you don't know if it's they forgot or that they may be drunk. You know, in this, especially in that area, they forget. They walk in there and they, hey, I need money for the beer. You know, but this is in, what is it, San Antonio, I believe. Yeah, San
Rancho
Diego.
Santa Fe.
I'm sorry, Santa Fe. Yeah, I'm sorry.
New Mexico.
Yeah. So.
This could happen anywhere. If they're not going to have a security guy just sitting there, even if he's dozing off, if he's just sitting in a chair, just have a security guy there for the tellers to, you know, whistle at and say, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody, there should be – I know they have cameras and they have everything. They're trying to automate everything, but there should still be a flesh and blood dude there representing the security of the – that's just bad protocol.
Yeah, it says Rancho Santa Fe Bake. But it says here, it looks like this is in the San Diego division, so it might be in San Diego where they did this.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, so this, it looks like this might just be, because it's a bigger bank, maybe they did have a
Pacific Western, so it's got to be California.
Yeah, exactly. A New Jersey teacher who called her first graders future criminals on Facebook should lose her job, a judge said. Now, I did get a chance to look at this story beforehand, and apparently from what I understand is that the teacher put this on her own personal profile on Facebook saying, hey, you know, these kids, they've attacked me. I've been kicked or attacked by a couple of these little kids. It says here, students kept disrupting her lessons. One boy recently hit her. And it was forwarded to several parents that saw it. And it's 333 friends also saw it that was on there. So it says here, she said it was a warden for future criminals. Now, I've had to deal with a lot of kids over the years because I used to drive a school bus, and there was a few that I didn't think they were going to be future criminals, but I definitely put them in the category of, miscreants for sure. but I never would have gotten on a socialist network saying, yeah, so-and-so, he's going to be a nasty robber or whatever. Kids will be kids. You don't go around saying that they're going to be criminals just because a few of them act out. That's crazy. They're kids. They don't understand the consequences for all their actions, especially kindergartners, as I remember this person said this in her class. So, Dan, your thoughts?
One of my thoughts is that we need Eric here because of the aspect of being a grade school teacher. It's sad that our personal lives are used against us in our professional lives.
Mm-hmm.
What this woman had to say and vent about the little rugrats that she's teaching, I probably would have had stronger words about them. And for the older students, I often do. But, you know, should this affect her job? She didn't say it to their faces.
Mm-hmm.
She said it on her personal Facebook profile.
Right.
Did she post to her Facebook profile while she was at work? I don't see anything about that.
Yeah, it doesn't say for sure.
You know, there's too much, you know, there's probably a clause in her contract with the school administration about things like this that enables them to fire her. And
right.
It's unfortunate that it's impossible to get certain jobs without signing away your private life to your employer.
Right.
That's pretty much about the way I see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said kindergartner. It's actually first grade teacher. She's a first grade teacher. So that's my mistake. But I think this got that fixed off right off the bat. Vonnie, your thoughts?
Oh, I have lots of thoughts in this one.
Well, definitely not Eric.
Friend, and my point making right now, I wish my friend, of whom I cannot tell you her name.
Okay.
Because if someone were to hear me talk about what I'm about to tell you about.
We'll call her Joanne.
Yeah, let's call her Joanne. And she's a dear friend of mine. She is a teacher. And I wouldn't be able to, if a parent heard me overhearing that she said something, she would get in trouble.
Really?
She has a Twitter account of which she cannot, and they want her account. They keep asking her for it, and she keeps saying, no, I don't have one, but they know that she does.
Mm.
She basically is restricted in every way of what she says about kids.
Yeah.
And so she has no place, no social place to vent. And I don't think that's right. I mean, there's this, it's it, to me, this whole issue is a larger issue. First of all, I think parents need to stop expecting teachers to be miracle workers. Oh, I'm sorry, Packard.
That's right. I'll edit it. Don't worry, I'll edit it.
Okay, it's true.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, and I am a parent, and I do get frustrated with teachers, but not over every little thing. And I don't expect them to raise my child. And I, you know, like sometimes I think teachers feel like they've been left to hold the bag for everything because there are a lot of negligent parents out there, like there always have been, but they have. They are so restricted in what they can do as teachers, mm-hmm. In terms of discipline and whatnot, because it doesn't matter if they even so much as look the wrong way, you know, they feel that they're being so restricted. So they're unhappy. They're cranky all the time. And that's where it flips to the other side of the issue. Students are going to school and these kids just hate being there because you know what? The teachers hate being there.
Yeah.
Because nobody's having fun anymore. And, certainly not the kids.
Yeah.
And a part of, I think teachers need to start doing more in regards to, I think they feel so isolated that they have put up a wall between the parents,
mm-hmm.
and it does create resentment even with the kids.
Yeah.
Because if there's an issue, they don't even want to go there. They don't want to deal with it with the kid because they know they're going to have to deal with the parent. And so it's a big mess. But as far as I don't think this is, and it's not just teachers, anybody, myself included, who works in a public sector, especially for the government or, you know, a place where you're expected to uphold a certain kind of, impression,
mm-hmm.
you just can't say anything. Your personal life is not your own. That's why every now and then I put up a picture of myself on Twitter. Otherwise I don't, because I of that, I get scared and then I'll go back in hiding again. I get paranoid.
it's
because
not hard.
If anyone found me in the place where I work, that would definitely have consequences, whether I like it or not.
Yeah, that's very true. I can understand. That's why I've talked to people who say, yeah, I got a show I got to do. They say, what's the show? And it's like, I'm not going to tell you that. If you want to find it, you got to find my alternate name. And I'm not going to tell you my alternate name. So that's all there is to it. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of torn here because I can see both sides. And I don't know an awful lot about her particular situation with regards to her school. But I can only assume that, like any company, there is a system that's built in that they try to keep this sort of thing internal.
Mm-hmm.
If she had concerns about students' behavior, she should have taken that up internally in the school system to see if it could be if something could be done to improve it. But she's just probably talking in general that kids are just kids,
right?
And but she should have known better.
She should have known better. She didn't. She was using Facebook to vent. We all do that. Mm-hmm. I personally consciously try to keep my business and my pleasure separate.
Right.
Because I'm also aware that if the two merged, I could lose my job.
Oh yeah.
We all have that possibility. So it's important to me not to talk about business.
That's
when
right.
When I'm having fun, they're two completely different worlds to me, but in reality they're not. And for some people that bleeds over, one bleeds into the other. The mistake that she made was using Facebook to vent.
Yeah.
Business. And for that would be the reason why they let her go, because she did not allow them to handle this internally. If she had a problem with the students that she was supervising, she should have taken it up with her superiors, and they should have found a way of being able to handle this internally so it didn't blow up and become, you know, national, international news.
Yeah.
But she didn't, and they were not able to control the situation. That can adversely affect them not only immediately but farther down the road. It can have repercussions that will cost money, resources, time. They had no choice but to let her go, I
right.
think, in this. But that's not right. I'm not saying it's right.
No, she should be able to. Is,
she should
have
the
reality.
She should be able to. She should be able to vent whenever she wants to. Anybody should be able to. It's a free country.
Then you create a fake account like I did.
That's what I was going to say. Then if you're going to vent on something, then
yeah, but there's no such thing as an anonymity on the internet. That is an illusion. The only reason.
Yeah, but Facebook, really? Like,
locks on our doors do not keep people. Locks on our doors do not keep people from coming in if they really want to come in.
Right. But that's just.
You waved the flag and said, here I am. Here's my first and last name.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
but if you.
She should have known better.
Right. If she
knew the policies, and I agree that she should be able to vent. But you're a teacher. You know the policies. That's the way it is. That's reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was going to say, if she created a fake account, and a lot of kids are doing this nowadays. If they go to parties or whatever, they change their last name on their account to something completely different, or they change the name on their – this way, if a future or potential job hunters, because they're doing this now, they're looking for people on Facebook. They go, oh, I bet you this person has a Facebook account, so they look up their name, and if they don't find one, then they don't have anything to do it to hold against them. But if you put up your name and say you're at a party and you put a bra on your head, for example, and they say
right,
and
then they will think twice before they even hire you.
Exactly. And so that's why you're changing their names to something so they can't be found, or they make the fake account and they keep their regular account with their real name, so they keep the two separate from each other.
Yeah.
But we're running long again, so we should get moving
on. That was a good topic, though.
Oh, yeah, it was an excellent topic. Excellent topic.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the things I've seen, I mentioned this on the show a few months ago, that there was a movie that had the religious guy and the pornography guy, but they were in cahoots with each other. I still haven't found out the name of the movie, but they were, it was a conspiracy that said, hey, I'm going to say bad things about you. You say bad things about me. We both bring in the money, and we're getting money from both ends of the spectrum. However, there's an old saying that fantasy mimics reality. In this case, a publisher that is owned by the Catholic Church sells pornography. The German bishop promises to stop the company's distribution of erotic novels. I saw this. I was like, this isn't a movie. And here it is in real life. Probably some 20 years later from when I saw this. It was, I just couldn't believe it. It's Germany's largest bookseller after Amazon, who wholly owned the Catholic Church. So, I mean, it's revealed that Wellbuilt's massive assortment of titles available to customers online included 2,500 erotic books with unmistakably lewd titles, including, I'm going to say this, so prepare yourselves, Call Me Slut, Take Me Here, Take Me Now, I won't say the other, Lawyers, it starts with a WH, and a few that also have pictures of the titles. Dust jackets and things like that, and the scantily clad women in high heels, erotic underwear, and things like that. So this doesn't surprise me. I'm surprised they don't have little boys on parade, you know, because, you know, the whole Catholic, they like the little boys. it's like this joke I had heard many years ago, and I don't know if anybody's a Michael Jackson fan, but if you are, I'm sorry. It was this joke, he says, why did Michael Jackson and the priests all run off to Walmart? Well, because they heard little boys' pants are all half off. Sorry, that's a bad joke. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I think I am really starting to think that if I were someone who really just wanted like the badass, kinky, strangest sexual urges type person, I think I would probably go back to church. Because that's where I would find one.
Yeah.
You know, like I just, you... This is a perfect result of what happens when you suppress perfectly normal biological urges of a human being.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you get, stuff like this.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, they talk about lewd titles, but I don't see any. Is it good? Is it good porn? Or
I don't
is it
know.
Just crap? The quality isn't being questioned here. It's not being challenged. And it also shows here that the Catholic Church tried to sell the company Wellbuilt back in 2009, but couldn't get the right price. I would think that the price wouldn't really matter if they were trying to get rid of it before anybody noticed that they were doing porn.
Yeah, it's
they should have gotten rid of it at whatever price they could sell it at.
Yeah,
they didn't.
It also says the books they promoted were pornography, Satanism, and magic. Well, that's, you know, the thing is, but they already do. It's called the Bible.
we don't know, though. These were not controlled by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church owns the company.
Yeah.
But how much control editorially did the Catholic Church have with this company? We don't know the ins and outs of the agreement that was made or why the the Catholic Church.
Why were they even affiliated in any way?
Yeah, they owned the company for more than 30 years. I mean, think that in 30 years.
So it probably didn't start that way, but the people who were actually running it day in, day out, they had people come in with offers. This is a book that I'm working on. This is how it's going to sell. This is how much money you're going to make. Do you want to sell it or not? And the guys that were running it were probably not bishops themselves. They were probably just businessmen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought that this was directly linked to.
That's not what I got when I was reading it. But
yeah, I misunderstood.
Am I incorrect? Was it the literally Catholic priests that were running the operation, or were these two separate?
I don't think it says that. I mean, they own.
I made that leap. I'm sorry.
I don't think that there's Catholic. There's not bishops running around that are also book dealers. I mean,
they're actors.
The whole thing is a scam anyway. It's just they're just however they can make money. Probably not today, but back in the day of the mafia being, you know, the Italian mafia being the Godfather days.
You know the funniest thing?
I think there was a lot more connection between the Catholic Church and the mafia than either would like to admit.
Yeah.
And that might still be a connection.
Yeah, see, the funniest line in this whole story is, we will put a stop to the distribution of possibly pornographic content in the future. Possibly. In the future, possibly. We know about this, and
they may not have been paying attention until it was brought to their attention.
No, it says,
well, actually, apparently, people have been complaining to their bishops about this for years.
Yeah. People have been complaining to their bishops about how their bishops were boinking their children for years. Talk to Ireland. This
exactly.
is nothing new.
Exactly.
They would sweep
so
it under
nothing.
The rug. They would pay off people. They would do everything they could. The bottom line was
it's been well known, and the church doesn't care.
Yeah.
Now, the company Weltbild, they merged with five other companies in 1998. One of them is called Blue Panther Books, mm-hmm. and they were excluded from this year's Frankfurt Book Fair because of the pornographic content of their titles. So, you know, it's something that the church has known about and people have complained to them about. It just hasn't gotten a lot of recognition.
Yeah.
And I really don't think they care. I really don't think a whole lot is going to change. The company will probably spin off a subsidiary that will handle the pornographic titles. And because it's a very lucrative industry, and this is like Packard mentioned before, this is the second largest bookseller in Germany, second to Amazon. There's a lot of money on the line here.
Oh yeah,
which is why the Catholic Church owns the company in the first place, to make money.
Yeah, I think if they're pushing a book that says magic, pornography, and Satanism, you think they would, you know, just want to get rid of it? But they held on to it.
That's the kind of title it would sell. That's what people would.
Yeah, I know. But that's
walking around a bookstore, they see that title, like, oh my god, I'm going to read that.
Yeah, I know. But that's what I'm saying is, but if there is the religious as they are, you know, if they wanted to get rid of this stuff, they would have gotten rid of it. But
they don't want to get rid of it because it makes them money. The whole thing's a scam, Packard.
I know that's a scam. I know religion's a scam. You know,
I think the Catholic Church has the ability to have control over a lot of the content that they publish. I don't think they've exercised a lot of that control in the past, though.
Either that, or they knew about it and they just didn't. They were just trying to cover it up, thinking, "Hey, no one's going to find out about this, or we'll just collect the money and, you know, hey, we'll just disavow it if someone does find out."
Yeah,
but it took them 30 years.
When it comes down to it, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah,
the Catholic Church is an investor in this company. The Catholic Church shouldn't be investing in any companies at all, as far as I'm concerned. Neither should any religion.
Right.
But that's beside the point.
Yeah. Next story here. A Catholic school teacher was fired for reporting abuse as a lawsuit would claim. Dan popped this one up over Twitter earlier this week. Two teachers, including a former teacher of the year, were suing the Catholic Archdiocese of Miami, claiming they were fired for reporting a suspected sexual abuse involving a principal and a seventh grade girl. And the principal was also a woman. Apparently, she lifted the girl's skirt, exposing her bare buttocks and genital areas to a school employee and another student, according to the complaint. I know this is an all-girls school, and they all have the same equipment, as it were, but that's still humiliating for anybody. It doesn't matter we're not all mindless drones. They think that the way they teach in these schools, I think they get everybody to dress the same or whatever. And, you know, they think this, we're just going to teach them one thing and then that's it. However, people have emotions. And when someone does something like this and they get reported and then they say, hey, you reported me, you're fired. That shouldn't fly under any circumstances. Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a crazy situation. You know, like I said, this is what the lawsuit against the church claims. Apparently, the law firm that the two teachers have hired has been involved in other charges against the church in the past, so they're familiar with them. And the fact that there have been other charges against this. The Catholic diocese down there should say a little bit anyway.
Right.
But it's these two women have lost their jobs because they spoke out. And that's one of the reasons people in Catholic churches and Catholic schools and any church, any school for that matter, have not spoken up in the past because they feared for their jobs. Well, guess what? Your jobs aren't worth as much as the kids' lives. And I'm glad these women stood up and stood their ground and said, this is going on. We need to report this. I'm sad that they lost their jobs for it. And if it comes down to that, you know, this is the reason why the church fired them, church is going to have to pay up.
Yes, I quite agree. I quite agree. Vonnie, your thoughts?
I agree, too. That's just it's crazy that just more of the same. Just more of the same. Like, let's just cover everything up and let it keep happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then you wonder why people look at religion and give their head a shake. Like, come on.
Yeah. People give, too many people give religion a pass or religious schools a pass over this stuff. And I think now that this stuff is coming out more, that people are becoming a little bit more aware that this stuff shouldn't be allowed. I mean, it's disgusting. In all sorts of manner. Zach, your thoughts?
Well, this is why we have a judicial system, and it's still early. It's still pending. We don't know the whole story, but hopefully this will be an example where the judicial system works and they get compensation for having been fired for whistleblowing.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is they shouldn't have gotten fired in the first place for whistleblowing, but they did, and they're because we have a judicial system, there is a system in place that allows them to challenge that decision. But corporations, and in this case the church, do not like being told what to do. They like being able to defend them, you know, to protect their own interests, their own selfish interests.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't like whistleblowers. Corporations and churches don't like whistleblowing.
Yeah.
Unless it benefits them. They don't like anything that doesn't benefit them, which is understandable. They're trying to protect themselves.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was needed. It was necessary. And you know, the truth will out.
Exactly.
It's still pending. We don't know. But I don't want to say I have faith. But I'm sure that that both sides of the story will be able to be heard, and the truth will hopefully come out.
You know, I personally, I hope these women get their if they want to go back, if they really want to go back, I hope they get their jobs back, or at least get compensated for the time they would have had had they been there. And
that's happened before at other times when whistleblowing has occurred, person got fired, and they sued and they got compensation for it. It's
well, you know how you're trying to get money out of the Catholic Church is like squeezing blood from a stone.
Yeah, it's difficult, but
it's not impossible.
Not impossible.
Our funny tweet of the day comes from Medusa Rants. That's MEDUSA_RANTZ. And she retweets cat food breath. That's CATFOODBREATH. And he says, I am cat that had to spend the whole weekend napping. I am the 99%. Occupy the couch. And hashtag occupy couch. So with all the stuff that's been going on with the Occupy Wall Street and everything, I thought that was the best one I came across all week. Thoughts?
Occupy my butt. Occupy my butt.
Occupy Twitter.
Occupy Twitter.
I do that every day.
Occupy Packard's bathtub.
I don't think you want to go there. You don't
like
want to.
One morning you come into the bathroom and there's like 20 people with picket signs. and there's one guy sitting on the toilet with a drum set.
which is actually just a 5-gallon plastic bucket turned upside down.
Hey, exactly. How'd you know?
No, not the toilet. The drum.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you. Oh, never mind.
No.
Porcelain makes for bad acoustics. Yeah, you have to use the plastic.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Vani, did you have anything you wanted to add on that?
No.
Okay. Our shout out this week comes from Dan, and Dan is giving a shout out to an Aniroy, A-N-N-I-R, let me start again, A-N-N-R-A-O-I-O-D, and from Dublin, Ireland. Dan, can you tell us a little bit, Aniroid? Sorry, probably.
His name is easier than it looks. It's an Irish name. Ah. It's the Irish version of Henry, so it's Henry.
That's pronounced Henry? Oh,
I follow him, and I've always been doing how Packard just said it.
I thought maybe he was trying to do an Android thing, but he got Aniroid. I've got Aniroid.
He was born in Rhodesia years ago. He's lived all over the place. He's retired. He's living in Ireland. And as it says in his bio, that says, I'm old, Catholic, and cranky. And I suppose he is all three. And he's a lot of fun on Twitter. And I have a great time talking with him. And he's quite a character.
Okay.
If I ever get to Dublin, I am definitely going to look him up.
Oh, and how do you pronounce his name again? I mean, obviously, I'm going Aniroid, but I don't think that's
just Henry.
Henry. Okay.
It's like Henry, only without the voiced H. Yeah.
Henry. Okay. Henry. Well, if you're on Twitter, give Henry a follow. That's Aniroiod. Give him a follow. Tell him you heard him here on the show. And from what Dan said, sounds like he's a fun guy. All right, our question of the week last week. What do you take generally an accepted truth that you don't believe is possible or something like that? I forget what it was exactly. Sorry, it's not just not coming up here. But we had several answers. Nom Divide and Evil Eye Monster. And Joan seen started out. He actually gave me two. I'm just going to read the second one because the other one didn't make any sense. It says, it's a widely accepted fact that Packard was a porn star since the 70s. However, I find it hard to believe since he's not listed in wikiporno.org. You're right.
Wikiporno.org?
I didn't even know there was a there. I didn't even know. I didn't know there was a wikiporno.org.
I'm going to go look that up when we get done here.
I'm not allowed to swear, but you guys can talk about porno for half the show. That's I'm just saying.
And Non-Divide said that we're surrounded by so many idiots, but I guess it takes all kinds of people to make a world. And he says, damn it, I can't get rid of them anyway. So I'm going to have to bleep that damn it, unfortunately. And I just did it twice, so I'm going to leave it. And the Evil Eye Monster says that my precious hard drive is unrecoverable without government intervention. That's what he can't believe. That's an accepted fact. So, all right. Our new question of the week is, what would you do in space? Dan, if you were to go into space, what would you do in space?
Probably undergo rapid decompression.
That was my answer. Dang it, you took my answer. Now I have to come up with another answer.
It didn't specify if you were in a spacesuit or a spaceship, so
right.
Rapid decompression, that's a good one. Vani, what would you think? What would you do in space?
I would take a pair of binoculars and I would look for God. And then I would do the dance of victory because I wouldn't find him.
I'd look for the magic teapot.
Oh, the spaghetti monster, too.
Yeah, that too. Zach, what would you do in space?
Play golf.
Golf? That'd be hell, one hell of a hole to hit.
Yes. And I'd need a caddy who would also, decompress. But we'd be playing golf, so it's okay.
Oh, there you go. Myself, I'd be doing space, I'd get on a megaphone and say, hey, I can see my house from here.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, if you want to get it, we finally did work out our hashtag this week. We said it last week, but then we figured we didn't. But we got it figured out this week. It's WWPPA. So if you have an answer for what would you do in space, put it with a hashtag WWPPA, since nobody else is using that one. It took us most of the night to figure that one out. But any response, you don't have to put the question. Just give a response with the WWPPA, and then we'll read it here on the show. Speaking of the show, you can end the Twitter, and you can send that out to everybody that's out here on Twitter. You can send it to Vani, Eric, Dan, myself, or Zach, and we'll get you out here on the show. But anyway, you can find us on Twitter, and you can find Dan on Twitter as
Rel Unrelated. That's RelUnrelated.
Yeah, and that's the first time I ever heard you stumble on your name. you can find Vani on Twitter as
Evolution Child, EvolutionChild_CHILD.
Right, and you can find Zach on Twitter as
Zach's Mind. That's ZACHSMIND, and you can just Google me because I'm all over the place.
Right, and you can find them everywhere. You might even find them in your bathtub.
Picketing with a drum set.
Exactly. You can find me on Twitter as Packard Sonic. That's PACK_Sonic, SONIC. You can find the show notes at Packard Pokes at all one word on Twitter, or you can find the show notes at PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com. And I want to thank everybody that showed up here in the chat room tonight and for coming tonight and hanging out with us here. So I want to wish everybody have a good night. And we have Thanksgiving coming up. So if you celebrate Thanksgiving or you don't, have some turkey or whatever you eat on that day. So this has been Packard Pokes At, and we just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.
Oh, shoot. I forgot. Let me redo that ending. I'm going to redo that ending. I forgot my...
I was about to say, we just poked at your news.
Yeah, I forgot. I
was about to just say that. But
okay, let me redo that. I'll redo the ending here. Okay.